Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran katira. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have been blessed to enter iman, O you who have been favored to become the people of iman, O you who aspire to be the people of iman, O you who profess the iman on your tongues, if you wish to become people of kamal iman, if you wish to become perfect in your iman, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundant remembrance. Dhikr kathira is mutlaq. It's غير متناهي. It means that you must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. In your heart, you must be thinking about Allah, you must be aware of His presence, aware of His wujud, aware of His qurb, aware of His proximity and His nearness to you each and every moment of the day. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said another ayah, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تَجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. But they are such people that neither trade, nor commerce, nor business dealings. It means neither anything in the dunya, nothing that they do in life, distracts them from the remembrance of Allah. So obviously this is pointing to a zikr of the heart. Right? Because the person who's in bayah, who's in tijara, who's speaking, dealing, bargaining, negotiating, he cannot be using his tongue in zikr. So this is pointing out, although there are many zikrs of the tongue that we are supposed to do, but this ayah is indicating that there's something else, some zikr kaseer, some type of remembrance, some type of engagement with Allah that you're supposed to be so deeply involved in that it takes over your heart for 24 hours a day. And this is what our mashayikh, Shaykh Rashid Ahmad rahimahullah, writes. He calls this huzur qalb. He says the lubbi lubab, the hasil, the essence, the main reason, the purpose of doing all the different types of zikr that all the different mashayikh teach us that are according to the sharia, the purpose of all these zikr is to attain something in the heart called huzur-e qalb, which means a presence of the heart, which means that you feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. They say qalbullah arshullah, qalbu abdullah arshullah, that the heart of a believer, the heart of the slave of Allah, is the home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just think how we keep our homes so clean. Even today, the people in the world, they keep their bathrooms, the place of filth, the place of najasa, the place we will go relieve ourselves, we keep them spotless. So if we keep that place where najasa is going to, where filth, excrement is going to be placed, if we keep that room so clean, so imagine how clean we must keep our heart if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come into our heart. If we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, His mercy, His nur, His karam to enter our heart. How clean must we keep our heart? So the way to keep our heart clean has been mentioned in the hadith, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سِقَالَةٌ, that for each and everything the beloved messenger ﷺ said, there is a polish. وَسِقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, and the polish of the hearts is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this thing called zikr is something that we have greatly misunderstood. Zikr kaseer. The majority of us think that zikr is something that is optional, zikr is something that is extra. Maybe I'll make 5-10 minutes of zikr after some salah, maybe I'll make 5 minutes of zikr before I go to sleep. That all is correct, but that is zikr of the tongue. What is meant by this ayah, zikr kaseer? So in the tafsir of Mujahid, which is on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Imam al-Mufassirin, he writes that al-zikr kaseer, Allah tansa'ahu bihalin. That dhikr kathir means that you do not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bihalin in any situation, in any moment. And this is why our early mashayikh used to have this feeling about themselves. They used to say that that moment we spend in ghafla, that moment we spend unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to say it is as if we spent that moment in kufr. They didn't even count that as part of their lives. They used to guard each and every moment. They used to think that in order to do amal on this ayah, each and every moment, each and every breath should be engaged in the zikr of Allah. So much so, in Persian there's this thing called hoshtardam. It means that each and every breath that you take, it should be taken with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think how many times do we breathe a day? It means that they thought that we have to be so aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even we should not take a single breath that we are unaware of that majestic Lord. Otherwise, where is the nur of iman in our hearts? What is the difference between us and the unbelievers? Is it just a few rites and rituals and worships? Yes, that is a major difference. But the secondary difference is the difference in our heart. That our heart is alive. وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبَهُمْ It comes in Quran. That their hearts tremble, they quiver, they shiver. They get tickled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the nature of the believer. So some mashayikh used to say, then that you should be aware of Allah so much, that not even a single breath should take place in which you forget Him. Then later on, the mashayikh took it even further. And they said, look, the breath is made up of two things. You inhale and you exhale. So then they used to try that we should not even inhale without forgetting Allah, and we should not even exhale without forgetting Allah. No special type of breathing, just your normal breathing in your life. These people were so conscious, so aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then our Shaykh Bahauddin Maktaban rahimahullah, one of the greatest Sufis, he went one step further and he said, oh my friends, not only should you remember Allah when you inhale, not only should you remember Al-Fadhal when you exhale, but that small gap in between inhaling and exhaling, you must remember Allah in that gap also. These people, think about this, my friends, and on the Day of Judgment, there will be people like that who present themselves before Allah, who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala each and every moment of their life. People who were people of dhikr kathir, who answered that call, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. So how will people like you and me present ourselves on that day, in front of such noble personalities like that, who spent every moment, every breath, every inhale, every exhale, every gap in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why we don't try to do dhikr kathir, the reason we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, is because we don't know the ahmiyah, we don't know the importance of making dhikr. Even though Allah has said in Quran, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu qulub, that verily in the remembrance of Allah, your hearts will find peace and tranquility. So very briefly, I'm going to go over with you 7 benefits of doing dhikr. And you will see that these benefits aren't really going to be found in anything else. And when you see the benefits that you get from being a person who has dhikr da'im, who has huzur qalb, who remembers Allah a lot in your heart, who feels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get in your heart, then you will think that, Ya Allah, I also want to be a person of dhikr kathir. I also want to remember you at all times. So the first benefit is in that ayah, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu qulub. That the person who makes dhikr of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes his worries. In fact, if you look at the world, everybody in the world, all we want is itminan. In America, that's what everybody wants. They say, do whatever makes you happy. Do what makes your heart content. Do what makes you feel good in life. That is their philosophy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this gift in Quran. He gave it to the Muslims. That if the goal of life is to be happy, if the goal of life is to make your heart content, that know Allah, that know that only and only verily بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمِئِنُ الْقُلُوبِ that in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will the hearts find peace, tranquility and serenity. So if you are sad, if you are lonely, if you are having a tough time, if you turn to the TV, it will not give you itminan. It's in Quran. If you turn to a film or movie, it will not give you itminan. If you pick up a novel, it will not give you itminan. If you call up your girlfriend, it will not give you itminan. These things are just temporary, these are ephemeral. If you want the true peace, the true serenity, the true contentment in your heart, know Allah has said in Quran al-Kareem, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. So the first benefit of getting this huzur al-qalb, of remembering Allah in your heart, is Allah gives you itminan in this world, let alone the akhirah. You get peace and tranquility, you feel happy in this world. Because obviously any being who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who feels that his heart is remembering Allah, what greater happiness could there be in this world? So the only reason we don't strive for this is because we haven't tasted this pleasure. We are so busy tasting the pleasures of this world, tasting the pleasure of the lusts, of the unlawful things the world has to desire. So know, my friends, that you will always be trapped in the pleasures of this world until you taste the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until you taste the pleasure of a zikr, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. The second benefit of making dhikr in your heart is that you will increase in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a lover, his job is simply to love, to think and remember his beloved. All of you know the famous story of Layla and Majnun. Now you know Majnun was just thinking about Layla day and night. Now imagine if somebody claimed to be Majnun and said, I never think about Layla. Or I think about her 2-3 minutes a day. We'd say, oh, that's nice, but you're not Majnun. majnun means to be intoxicated, to be enmeshed in the love of something. So to be majnun about something, to be a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means that you must be thinking about Him day and night. That is the sign of muhabbah. And Allah has said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ خُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that know that the believers are extreme in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we feel that we are not like that, then we must do what the lovers do. And what the lovers do is that they remember their Lord. So the more and more we do dhikr, the more and we remember Allah in our heart, the more our hearts will become filled for His love. The third thing is that dhikr, very important. When we remember Allah, the more and more you remember Allah, it will keep you from sin, which is the most important first step a person can take. He must make his life according to the Sharia and Sunnah. Now, how does dhikr help you stay away from sin? Just think that if you find anybody who commits a sin, or just think about your own self, that any time in the past when I did a particular sin, at that moment that I did that sin, was I remembering Allah? And anybody would say, no. I had forgotten Allah. I had forgotten the book of Allah. I had forgotten the messenger of Allah. I had forgotten that I was trying to become an abd, the slave of Allah. I had even forgotten that I was a person who read La ilaha illallah. I was so absorbed, so lost in my sin. So if we want to stay away from sins, the more and more we remember Allah, the azmat, the jalal, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on our heart. And then we think that how can we disobey this person, this being? How can we go against the commandments of this being? And then the more zikr you do in your heart, it makes you repent over your sin. Because when you remember Allah in your heart, Allah says in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that remember me and I will remember you. So sometimes you might get that feeling that maybe Allah is remembering me, that Allah is watching me, that Allah is with me, that Allah is close to me. So whenever the lover feels that his beloved is looking at him, then he analyzes himself. He thinks that, am I worthy of presenting myself before the beloved? What does the beloved see when he looks inside my heart? What does the beloved see when he looks at me? So then the person will reflect upon his sins and he will feel remorse, he will feel regret, he will say, oh, my beloved is looking at me, but I've done so many things to displease him. So he will have nadma, remorse and regret in his heart. And the beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-nadmatu tawbatun." Even a drop of remorse and regret in your heart, it is repentance. So the more and more we remember Allah, the more and more we think about Allah, the more we imagine that we have to please Allah, then we will repent over our sins. We will want to leave our sins because we will not want to displease that being whom we love. The fourth benefit of doing dhikr is that the more and more dhikr you do in your heart, the more and more the dunya, ghairullah, things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave your heart. Because you know your heart always is in love with something. Your heart is always thinking about something. Just like a room, it is either dark or it is light. There's no other third condition. So your heart either has the light of the love of Allah and the remembrance of Allah inside of it, or has the darkness of the love for ghairullah inside of it. So the more and more you think about Allah, then you'll become a person who understands the petty value of this dunya. It won't just be a story that we hear, that, oh, we're here in the dunya just for a few moments to prepare for our eternal life. You will actually begin to view this dunya as just a short period of time. Why? Because when you look at the dunya with the eyes of the remembrance of Allah, then your perspective on the dunya will change. Because everything is recognized by its opposite. If you know Allah, if you feel Allah, if you remember Allah, then you will take a different perspective on ghairullah. But if we never think about Allah, then we'll be lost in our thoughts of the dunya. And that's our condition, that our worldly life is the be-all and end-all of our plans. When we get up in the morning, we think of all these things that we have to do. All our life we plan how we're going to improve in our dunya. How I'm going to expand my business, how I'm going to get a promotion at work, how I'm going to get a better car, how I'm going to get married, how I'm going to get a better house. So many plans that we make. And if they're fine according to the Sharia, that's fine. But if all you do is think about the dunya and plan about the dunya, and you never think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you never think that, oh, I'm going to start praying tahajjud, oh, I'm going to start learning Quran, oh, I'm going to follow more sunnah, oh, I'm going to leave these sins. We don't make those part of our daily plans or our daily thoughts. So because of that imbalance, we get so oriented towards the dunya and the world. So the fourth benefit of making dhikr was that we will understand the value of the dunya. The fifth benefit of making dhikr is that we will stop being afraid of death. Because the more and more you remember Allah, the more you will wish to meet Him. And that is what the Mashayikh used to say, that death is but a bridge that unites the lover with his beloved. So we will yearn to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be more prepared for death. The person who does not remember Allah, who does not follow the sunnah and sharia, he's afraid of death because he knows he's not sent anything ahead of him. But that person who follows the deen, he knows that he is sending so many things to the akhirah ahead of him, that when he dies he will inshallah have something there waiting for him. He'll be somewhat worthy of presenting himself before Allah. The sixth of the seven benefits of doing dhikr is that a person feels the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qurb of Allah, the ma'iyat of Allah. Now how can you feel something, some being as close when you don't even remember them, when you're totally unaware of them? This is why Allah in the Quran, when He describes the people of ghafla, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, that the people who are unaware of Allah, it doesn't mean that they're just okay Muslims. No. The people who are ghafil, who are heedless, who are unaware, who are empty-minded, who are absent-minded, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they are like animals. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ, in fact, they're even worse than animals. Because animals do not have this ability, right? They do not have this heart that can reach out and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we had that heart. And if we didn't use that heart, we become even worse than the animals. This is Quran. So the sixth benefit of making dhikr is that we become closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin to feel Him in our life. Look, anything you remember in your life, you feel close to it. Even if it's something bad. Even if it's a bad friend, a bad thought. The more and more you remember something, the more and more you're close to it. Example I was giving last night is if any man has a court case coming up in 1 week, a terrible court case, he will never forget that court case for even 1 minute of his day. He might be still going to work, he might be talking to his friends, he might be driving in the car, he might be eating, he might be with his wife, he might be with his children, but inside his heart there is a turmoil. There is a tornado going on, he's always processing thoughts of the court case. He will not forget the court case. It means that him and that court case are intimately joined. So intimately joined that he cannot forget it for even 1 second. So if a man can be intimately joined to a court case, cannot the Muslim believer, can we not intimately be joined to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Instead of a tornado in our heart, can we not have a peaceful breeze of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going through our heart at all time? Can we not in the background remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depths, from the core of our heart? Is this not the meaning of love? Is this not the meaning of ashaddu hubban, of extreme love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't this the meaning of dhikr al-kathir? Isn't this the meaning that you do not forget Allah even if you're in trade and commerce? So Allah is inviting us to remember Him. He wants us to remember Him. And that's why He said that if you remember me, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, I will remember you back. This is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we that He should remember us? What human being in the world can say he's worthy of أَذْكُرُكُمْ? What human being in the world can say he's worthy of being addressed as الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا? Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran that He gave us these states, that He addressed us in such a way. What tragedy it is that we don't try to yearn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do our part, we don't try to remember Him. It's like they say that the satellite TV is broadcasting everywhere. And if you don't have the dish, then you won't get receive the transmission. So just like that, your heart is a receiver for the transmission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. Allah ta'ala's sifat, His attributes are da'im, they're perpetual. Doesn't mean that Allah ta'ala is sometimes sending His rahmah. No. Allah ta'ala is sending His mercy, His rahmah, His fazl, His karam, all the time. But if you turn the receiver on, then you will get the transmission. But if you choose to be absent-minded, if you choose to be distant from Allah, if you choose to block your thoughts and your heart and simply think about your world, then you have turned off the receiver. So how sad are those people who get 24 hours transmission and they don't bother to turn on their receiver? And the seventh and final benefit of making dhikr is that it will breathe, it will infuse the spirit back into your ibadah. Allah says in Quran, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ لِذِكْرِي, that establish the salah for my remembrance. So that person who doesn't feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his salah, automatically there he knows that there's something wrong. That Allah commanded me to pray so that I would remember Him, and I come here and I think about my day, I think about my job, I even maybe remember my sins in my salah. But it means I must make additional practice. Look, sometimes people say that why do you need to make zikr, just pray nawafil. What greater zikr can there be than nafil salah? Or what greater zikr can there be than reading the Quran? Sometimes a person can think like that. So just look at this, understand it this way, that you're already praying salah, you're praying your farz, you're praying your sunan, and Allah commanded you to pray salah so that you would remember Him. You're unable to remember Allah in your salah. If you go ahead and pray more nawafil, you're just going to pray even more heedless salah. You're not fixing the problem. It's like somebody who enters Islam and we say, okay, you must learn some fiqh, some masail, you must learn what to recite in salah. He says, no, I just want to pray. There's more barakah in praying nawafil. We'll say, no, you have to take some separate time out. You must properly, formally study the fiqh of salah. And that will enable you to build the structure of your salah. Well, just like that, the person who doesn't feel Allah Ta'ala in his salah, who is not fulfilling the command, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, he must take some time out, he must formally study and make dhikr, he must train his heart with that ability to remember him, and then inshallah, then he can even progress through nawafil. If our hearts are absent in farz, what makes you think our hearts are going to be present in nafil? So it means that we have to train our heart. Same thing with Quran. When people read Quran, you're supposed to feel the rahmah of the Quran. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. But when we read Quran, our hearts are absent. We do not feel the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. That's why when a young man picks up Quran and he thinks he'll read Surah Kaf on Friday, he reads one or two pages and then he starts thumbing ahead and seeing how many pages are left. Because his heart is not getting that pleasure. He sticks his finger in at the end so he knows how many he has left and he quickly finishes reading his Quran. So it means just like if a person wanted to read Quran and he didn't know tajweed. And he said, no, I'm not going to study tajweed. There's more thawab, there's more ajr, there's more reward in reading Quran. We'll say, no. You must sit down. You must take out separate time. You must formally study tajweed so that you can approach the Quran properly. Just like that, if a person must do tajweed to train his tongue to read the Quran, a person must make dhikr to train his heart to get the rahmah, to get the fazl, to get the nur from the Quran. That's the only reason our mashayikh teaches to do dhikr. So dhikr kathir means then to do dhikr abundantly, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart at all times, to think about Him, to turn to Him, so that we get all these benefits. So I will just conclude with two ways of doing dhikr. The first way is just simply this, to simply think about Allah all the time, to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back into your life. Very simply, from time to time throughout the day, look inside your heart and think that, oh my heart, were you thinking about Allah, or were you absent-minded? Were you so absorbed in what you were doing, so absorbed in your teaching, so absorbed in your studying, that at this moment you were totally unaware you forgot Allah? So then just join yourself back to Allah. Then a few minutes will go by, you'll forget Him again. Then join yourself back to Him. This sounds very simple. It's a very simple mental exercise. But if you do it, you will find your life will change. You will find that that day before, I only used to think about Allah in the masjid. And now all of a sudden I realize that I can be a person who remembers Allah in my workplace, in the school, in the home. So think about Allah more and more. If you get into your car, and all of a sudden your friend says, oh, I have to go make wudu, he goes back. Instead of sitting there, turning the news on, or just thinking yet again about your day, sit there and think that, Ya Allah, you've given me 3-5 minutes to wait for my friend, I will just sit here and think about you. I will just remember you in my heart. So take these gaps of barakah, these moments of opportunity, and use them to remembrance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you fill up your free time with His remembrance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your ibadah with His zikr. And if you spend your free time being idle and being lazy and being absent-minded, then what do we think? That we can just go like this and turn the switch on? That we can be distant from Allah all day, be 0%, and come here and just go 100%? It's not possible. None of us are succeeding. If you remember Allah 20% of the day, then you only have to do 80% when you raise your hands in salah. If you become a person who remembers Allah 50% of the day, then you only have to do 50% of the work. That's why there were those people who remembered Allah throughout the day. That's why when they entered their salah, they forgot everything. Even arrows would be coming on them, they wouldn't be aware of it. That's the condition of our sahaba. We have stories like that, that they would stand in salah, have so much, be so absorbed in the remembrance of Allah, that even an arrow would come, pierce their leg. This is before the ruling came that blood breaks your wudu. That they would pierce their leg and they would still enjoy and continue their salah. And we, just a simple small arrow of one thought comes to our head and we forget everything in our salah. So the way to do that is to remember Allah more and more throughout the day. Try to keep in a state of wudu, make use of the sunnah du'as, stay away from sin, follow the sunnah, follow the sharia. If you do all these things, it will help your heart to remember Allah throughout the day. And the second thing is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart for 10 to 15 minutes a day in solitude. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبَّكَ وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. And remember the name of your Lord, وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and seclude yourself, isolate yourself from everything, turn to Him in full concentration. This is what we try to do in salah. We don't speak to anybody in salah, we don't eat, we don't talk, We stand there. Even our tongues are reciting Quran, so our tongues are making dhikr, but still we are absent. It means that we must develop this ability inside of ourselves to wipe everything away from our mind and to focus exclusively on Allah. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to do this, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ, is to focus on His beautiful name. Because everybody loves to be called upon by His name. If you have a name, Ibrahim, and somebody calls you Ibrahim, even if somebody thinks about you Ibrahim, if you have a brother and his name is Ibrahim, and you just think the word Ibrahim, everything about him, his whole personality, everything about him comes to mind, simply when you recall his name. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ, remember the name of your Lord. And my friends, we all know that the name of our Lord is Allah. So for 10 minutes a day, and this is the true zikr of the Naqshbandi Silsila, you should know this and listen to me carefully today, that the Naqshbandi Silsila teaches only silent zikr of the heart. The Naqshbandi Silsila teaches only silent zikr of the heart. It has been famous all over the world, in Turkey, in Syria, in Uzbekistan. I've met mashayikh from these places, Pakistan, India, all of these places. It teaches silent zikr of the heart. You will not find anywhere in the writings of Shaykh Shah Bahauddin Naqshband, rahimahullah, anything except silent zikr of the heart. You will not find anything in the writings of Shaykh Ahmed Sirhindi, rahimahullah, except anything but silent zikr of the heart. And what is the silent zikr of the heart? To close your eyes for 5-10 minutes a day, to imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering you, to make this niyyah that, Ya Allah, you said, Fadkuruni adhkurkum, remember me and I will remember you. How does Allah remember us? كَمَا يُلِيكُ شَانُ, as befits His majesty, as befits His greatness. But our mashayikh say that one way Allah remembers us is He sends His rahmah onto our hearts and purifies our hearts of their sin. And in gratitude for that, in gratefulness for that, our heart remembers His name, our heart does the zikr of His ism, as if our heart says Allah, 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 and you are just sitting silently with your tongue shut and you're just listening, imagining that you're listening to your heart. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah wa subhanallahi wa la ilaha illallah sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna Allahumma inna la dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika wa tilawati kitabik. Ya Allah, we have become so distant from You. Ya Allah, we have become so absent-minded from You. Ya Allah, we beg to You today to forgive us for this sin. Ya Allah, in Quran You said that those who are ghafil, those who are distant, are even worse than the animals. Ya Allah, we do iqrar of our sins. We testify that we have forgotten You in our lives. We testify that we have left this way of dhikr kathir. Ya Allah, we beg of You to forgive us for this sin. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the times that we were absent from You. Forgive us for all the distance that we have from You. But Ya Allah, we turn to You today, and we pledge that we will try to strive near to You. Ya Allah, Your own beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that You said that You are with Your servant when he tries to draw near unto You. That if he comes to You a handspan, You come to him in arm's length. That if he comes walking to You, You come running to him. Ya Allah, all of us today, we gathered here only to come to You, only to earn Your pleasure, only to learn how to please You, only to learn how to remember You. Ya Allah, to also make us people of dhikr. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with Your love. Fill our hearts with Your fear. Fill our hearts with Your dhikr. Ya Allah, make each and every atom in our body make Your dhikr. Ya Allah, make us amongst the dhakireen. Make us amongst those who remember You kathira, remember You abundantly. Ya Allah, we too want to feel You in our salah. Ya Allah, please put the dhikr back in our salah. Ya Allah, how many years will go by that we pray this salah without feeling You in our heart? Ya Allah, please put the dhikr back into our salah. Ya Allah, through Your rahmah, through Your karam, anything is possible. Ya Allah, it may be so difficult for us, but it is so easy for You. Ya Allah, only one glance of Your rahmah our way, and the condition of our hearts will be turned. Ya Muqallim al-Qulub, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who can change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, our heart are just in between Your fingers, just a play for You. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, take us out from the darkness of ghafla into the light of dhikr. Ya Allah, make our hearts manawar with Your dhikr. Ya Allah, make us people of ibadah. Make us people of taqwa. Make us people of tahara. Make us people of tawbah. Make us people who leave all the sins that we do. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the sins that we did. Forgive us for the sins that we did in the day. Forgive us for the sins that we did at night. Forgive us for the sins that we did alone. Forgive us for the sins that we did in the company of others. Ya Allah, forgive us for the sins that we used to hide from others. Forgive us for the sins that we have told so many lies to conceal from others. Ya Allah, we only fooled ourselves. Maybe we fooled society, but Ya Allah, there is no way we could have fooled You. Ya Allah, forgive us for trying to deceive You. Forgive us becoming hypocritical in our deen. Ya Allah, through your mercy, save us from sin. Keep us away from the people of sin. Keep us away from the opportunity of sin. Keep us away from the gatherings of sin. Ya Allah, keep us away from the whisperings of shaitan and enough to do sin. Ya Allah, remove all the effects and traces of sin from our minds. Remove the effects of sin from our hearts. Ya Allah, how long will we process these thoughts of sin? Ya Allah, when will our mind be cleansed of these thoughts of sin? Ya Allah, how long will our heart desire to do sin? When will our heart be cleansed of these desires and emotions of sin? Ya Allah, you are a muzakki. Only you can do our tazkiyah. Only you can cleanse and purify us. Ya Allah, we beg of you today. We make sincere tawbah and repent to you today. Ya Allah, clean our minds and our hearts. Ya Allah, purify our minds and hearts from these thoughts and emotions of sin. Ya Allah, and replace it with thoughts of your love, with desire to be close to you, with the desire to please you. Ya Allah, we also want to rise up in the night and worship you. We also want to make dua to you in the depths of the night. We also want to feel the pleasure of dua, of salah, of tilawa. Ya Allah, make us people who taste this lazza. Ya Allah, remove us from the pleasures of this world and grant us the pleasure of your deen. Grant us the pleasure of your dhikr. Ya khafi lutf adrikni bi lutfika al-khafi. Ya khafi lutf adrikna bi lutfika al-khafi. O Allah, you have the most pleasure is in your remembrance. Ya Allah, let us taste the pleasure of ibadah. Ya Allah, our beards have grown white and we have failed to taste this pleasure. Ya Allah, shower your rahmah upon us. Your beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, Ya Allah, that you said that you have haya, you are modest in taking the soul of the person whose beard has grown white. Ya Allah, have this modesty upon us. Incline towards us. Be kind towards us. Ya Allah, do qadr of the whiteness of our hairs. Ya Allah, make us feel you in our salah. Make us feel your qurb. Make us feel your proximity and your nearness. Ya Allah, we also want to taste the pleasure of this iman. Ya Allah, keep us away from sin. Make us follow the sunnah and sharia. Ya Allah, transform us from the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet in a way that is pleasing to you. Ya Allah, drag us from our hair into this Quran, sunnah and sharia. Ya Allah, make us become people of sunnah and sharia. Rabbana, anybody who, Allah SWT on this gathering, anybody who is sick, grant them health. Anybody who has financial difficulty, grant them the rizqi halal tayyib. Grant them purest and noblest forms of wealth. Anybody who has any worries, any difficulties, Ya Allah, you are the one who removes our worries. Ya Allah, we turn to you and beg of you that we are weak servants, that we cannot handle test and trial and tribulation. Ya Allah, remove our worries. Give us a path of ease. Make things easy for us. And Ya Allah, those of us who have health, those of us who have wealth, those of us who are drowning in your ni'mah and your blessings, and we have nothing except our own laziness to blame. Ya Allah, we beg you to drag us out of this laziness. Make us people of action. Make us people who are dynamic in their worship. Ya Allah, make us people who yearn to you, who strive towards you. Ya Allah, light the flame of desire for you in our heart. Ya Allah, ignite these dead hearts. Ya Allah, rekindle the flame of desire for you in our hearts. Ya Allah, we pray for our children. Ya Allah, keep them in your hifada. Ya Allah, keep them in your protection. Ya Allah, keep our children our iman. Ya Allah, there's so many temptations in the society around them. Allah, only you can save them from that. Allah, we beg of you to protect our children, to keep the iman of ourselves, to keep the iman of our children, and to preserve the iman of all of our generations until the Yawm al-Din. Ya Allah, bless this masjid. Make this masjid the shining light of the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia until the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, fill this masjid with the people of taqwa. Ya Allah, make this masjid a factory that produces the people of taqwa. Ya Allah, save all the people here in this community from the evil of the envier. Save them from the evil of the envi. Save them from the people who wishes them bad. Ya Allah, protect the Muslims of this community and this country, and protect the Muslims of the Ummah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.